This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Lim Soo Ann and Dashan Johan. So before the break, we were talking about the importance of empathetic and effective communication when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as just general public health issues. And now on to our second story. Last week, we heard the sad news that Oscar-winning illustrator and animator Gene Deitch passed away at the age of 95. So it was reported that his death was not related to the coronavirus, and he passed away in his home in Prague, Czech Republic. So today we thought we'd pay a little tribute to Deitch's career, which spanned nearly six decades. So Deitch wasn't only an illustrator and animator, but he was also a film director and producer. And his most well-known works were a short film, Monroe, which won the Academy Award, Tom and Jerry, and Popeye. And he's also credited with creating the Tom Terrific short, which was a part of a children's television show.
And throughout his career, he was nominated for several Academy Awards. The first was a nomination for a Best Short Film Animated in 1958. That was for Sydney's Family Tree, which is a six-minute animated movie that he co-produced and directed. And then he won the Oscar for his second nomination in the same category for Monroe, which Sharmila brought up earlier, which is a 9-minute Czechoslovakian American comedy. Then in 1964, he was nominated twice again in the same category for Here's Nutnik and How to Avoid Friendship.
Mm. So Tom Terrific and Sydney's Family Tree were created when Deitch was still living and working in the US, but then much of his work was also done after he moved to Prague in 1959. And he actually initially only planned to stay in the city for 10 days, and this was after US film producer Bill Snyder agreed to help him create Monroe under the condition that it was done from Prague. But 10 days lapsed into decades when he decided to stay there permanently after meeting his future wife, Zdena.
Oh, wow.
And that meant he got married and stayed there up until now, and he passed away in his home there. And that meant that he was actually working in Prague during the Cold War, and that he was working on the other side of the Iron Curtain after he moved there in 1959. And so in an interview with Czech radio, Deitch was asked if the studios were markedly different from those that he worked in the States, and here's what he had to say.
Completely, because these people were really shut off from the West. This was really, Iron Curtain was no joke, as I found out later. After the end of the war, they had come in possession of some pirated Disney films that the Nazis had made, you know, of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Pinocchio. And from those old, and they were black and white duplicated movie prints which they had, and they studied those prints to get the idea of how this happened, how this works, where you make drawings in slightly different positions and show them real fast. It looks like they're moving. Aha! This is animation, cinema animation. And so they thought this was a great thing. And Jerzy Tunka himself, who was already a great graphic artist and famous for being ambidextrous, that he could draw with both hands. And right at the end of the war, they all decided they were going to put together their own studio to make these animated films. And they used the old prints that they got a hold of to try to study how they were made. They converted an old discarded movie projector and remade it so that they were able to look at movie prints frame by frame by frame. And so they got at the root of how this was done. So they really started from zero. And because of that, because they had no contact with the West, they came up with an entirely different way of doing this. You know, just technically, it was really amazing.
So it was then Prague where he created some of his best work. And the first of these was Monroe, which eventually, like you said, became nominated for an Oscar and won in the 1960s. And after that, he then went on to work on Tom and Jerry as well as Popeye. And yes, we are talking about, you know, two very familiar cartoons here. One, the famous cat and mouse rivalry that many of us have loved and enjoy. So initially, it was produced by MGM's animation department. with its original creators, William Hanna and Joseph Barbara. That was up until 1957 when the department was closed due to budget cuts, and then the studio decided that it would stop making new shorts and just replay old ones instead. But then it only took them a few years before MGM decided they wanted to revive Tom and Jerry, but this time they did it without its original creators.
Who would have thought that an Oscar Award winning animator actually started working on Tom and Jerry and Popeye, right? That's not something I knew until actually very recently. So anyway, to get back to that story, to continue saving costs, they outsourced the remakes of these animated series to a studio in Prague headed by Gene Deitch, of course, and he struggled with the show due to the tight budget and a staff that had no knowledge of the original program. Mm. So the limited budget meant that Deitch's animation of Tom and Jerry was pretty sort of constrained and had jerky movements compared to the original creators' shorts. So the Hanna-Barbera versions, if you look at them, the movements are much more fluid. He also made the decision to have more exotic locations for his Tom and Jerry, such as a 19th century whaling ship or the Wild West. While the original series, as most of us would remember, took place pretty much inside one house. So here's another conversation. Here's another part of his conversation on Czech radio, where he shared his experience making Tom and Jerry and how it was different from the original series that was made in the States.
Well, I was not really a fan of Tom and Jerry, and there were a lot of things about it which we really couldn't do. For example, the Tom and Jerry cartoons had one character was a black woman housemaid. And the way they put her on the screen, her head was always out of the frame. And look, I said, we absolutely can't do that. So that was one of the things I said, no more black housemaid. And so I tried to think of new things that Tom and Jerry could do. But MGM people, they were happy with the cartoons we were making. But the fans, the real fans and purists, thought our films were terrible because they're not pure Tom and Jerry.
Were they visually different, though?
Well, I did everything possible to make sure they weren't. But I had to overcome tremendous problems. Because of the Iron Curtain, the animators in this studio here in Prague had never, ever even seen a Tom and Jerry cartoon. It was way out of their culture. And this kind of meaningless, stupid violence was also way out of their culture. To them, animation was really a cultural thing, and they were trying to make artistic animation here. I didn't want to come here and spoil this, because I thought this was really wonderful what they were doing here. But I knew it was not going to be commercially viable in America, because they had a whole different, besides other things, they had a different concept of pace. They would make leisurely films that took time to establish a real story, whereas in America it has to be slam bam thank you ma'am one gag after another and super high tempo, which the people were not used to at all. And so when they started making these films for Snyder, they were beautiful, but they were leisurely paced.
And being the first to follow from the classics, Deitch said that he knew he would be in the line of fire from fans, and the 13 cartoons of Tom and Jerry that he was involved in have been regularly labeled the worst.
Oh, no.
But in interviews since, Deitch has been honest about their bad reputation. Another interesting aspect of Deitch's shorts was that with most of his crew having Czech names, these were changed in the opening credits of the show to avoid being linked to communism. For example, Stepan was changed to Steven and Vaclav was changed to Victor.
Oh, dear.
But it's things I never realized were happening. And it's interesting to see how they were sort of managing how things were during the Cold War and with the Iron Curtain in place, how they actually managed to produce a show on one side and actually air it on another.
Yeah, I also, I never knew actually until you told us this earlier that he was the one who got rid of that stereotype black housemaid character from the series, because that's something I remember, but it's also something that feels extremely inappropriate now. So that's kind of an interesting shift as well.
And around that time was also when his studio in Prague worked on several Popeye the Sailor episodes, again another series most of us are familiar with. Now, we couldn't play you a clip from Tom and Jerry since it is mostly silent, with the occasional speaking character or the yowls and squeaks by the titular character. characters. But here's a short clip from one of the episodes of Popeye that Deitch directed, where Popeye and Olive are relaxing on a boat when items on board begin to mysteriously vanish.
Oh, Popeye! Isn't this relaxing?
Yeah, and restful too.
Popeye, look, the radio fell overboard.
Wow, looks like everything fell overboard, Olive.
But Popeye, everything wouldn't fall overboard at the same time.
Well, I'll take a look around.
Let me guess, was Brutus responsible for the items going missing?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, that laugh brings back so many childhood memories. So in his later years, Deitch also wrote a memoir called For the Love of Prague. And in that, he recounted what it was like to live in communist Czechoslovakia as an American and later in the Czech Republic after the 1989 Velvet Revolution. And in 2004, he received the Winsor McKay Award for his lifelong contribution to animation.
Mm. So I think ever since news reports came out of Deitch passing away, you know, there's been a lot of nostalgic messages on social media. People have just been, it's just reminded people of the memories they have watching these cartoons, especially Tom and Jerry and Popeye.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch Tom and Jerry and Popeye when you were growing up?
Yes, yeah. I must admit, I don't think I paid much attention to the directors. I think as a kid, you're just watching it for fun. So it's interesting now to look back and to see how different directors have sort of put their own touch on things.
Yeah, because, you know, this whole idea that there's a group of fans who didn't like the episodes that Deitch directed, it just kind of blows my mind, because I would assume that, you know, most of the people watching Tom and Jerry are kids and you're just happy to see a cat and mouse chasing each other. But it's also interesting, you know, to hear what he has to say and to read up on him, you know, or why, the reasons why he had to do what he had to do because of the budgeting constraints and all that. And he came up with sort of a surrealist approach. It's very interesting.
He, I also read in an interview with him that he thought of Tom and Jerry. He mentioned this a little bit earlier, that he found it silly and the violence unnecessary. But then that his introduction to working on the series was to think of it almost in as a biblical story between the, you know, like a David and Goliath, like a tiny guy versus a big guy, and the little guy sort of pushing his way through and winning the battle. And I found that really interesting.
I mean, we did see Jerry winning a lot of battles.
Yes. And I think it's also a sort of a reminder to us that these things that we take for granted, that, you know, even something as simple as an animated program that seems to be so superficial, actually has so much thought and work put into it, and it becomes people's lifelong legacy at some point, right? Well, that is actually all the time we have for today. But if you have thoughts that you'd like to tweet us, if you're a fan of Tom and Jerry or Popeye, or a fan of Gene Deitch's work, let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. And as you may already have noticed, we are shaking things up here at BFM during the movement control order. We are going to continue doing what we do best, and that is, of course, keeping you informed and up to date on all the hot button topics, playing you all the music that you love. But we are also adding on a host of new segments to keep you company while you're at home. So stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned from 7:30 a.m. every weekday. And coming up at 3 p.m. after this, we have Try This At Home, where they will be talking about meditation, mindfulness, and movement. But first, here is The Artist by Tom Misch on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.